Tonight's shir, Meseches, Parshas, Vayeshev. Vayeshev Yaakov, Eretz Megurei Aviv, Eretz Kanan. The Midrash says, what's written before this, which would be the end of last week's Sedra, Ve'ela Malachim Asher Malchu Beretz Edom Lifnei Malach Melech Livnei Yisrael. Talks about, mentions the kings of Edom, the chiefs. So the Midrash brings a mashal. Mashal Echad Shayam Halech Bederech. Mashal, a person who was walking on the way, Verakacho Klavim, he saw a group of dogs. And he was scared. So what did he do? Instead of running away in fear that they'll run after him, he just Yashav Lo B'neim, he sat there amongst the dogs. Kach Kevin Shara Yaakov Avinu Esav Alufa, when Esav saw, as we saw in the end of last week's Sedra, Yaakov saw Esav and all the chiefs, so he was scared. Nisra'amihim. So what did he do? Yashav Lo B'neim. He just sat there with them. The Sif Seit Tzadik brings in the name of his grandfather, Chidushe Harim, Migur, that what's the lesson over here? That if a person sees that he's surrounded by tsaras, lo aleinu, he shouldn't try to find ways, oh, I gotta get out, I gotta run away, I gotta run away from my tsaras. No, what should you do? As it says, Yeshe Benayim. Yaakov saw these dogs, so to speak, so what do? Sat there amongst them, didn't run away from it. Person that's tsaras, he can't run away and should not run away from his tsaras. You should realize these tsaras are not stum, they're sent for a purpose from Hashem, that you shouldn't try to understand why they're being sent. Make a cheshbon and nefesh, do something about it, work on yourself, whatever. And mekabel the yisurim bi'ava. The Tolis Yaakov Yosef, in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, used to say that somebody who's has tsaras and he doesn't realize, doesn't take the heart that these tsaras are sent from Shemayim and work on himself. What is it likened to? It's likened to a woman who has contractions, right? She's pregnant and she has contractions and she's in pain. And what does she do? She says, "Well, it says Mishana Makom, Mishana Basel. You change your place, you change your mazel. So I'll run into the other room. Maybe that'll help." Not gonna help. Can't run away from your tsaras. So the Maisa, he says, it's understood that, okay, a person has to do ishtadlus, you know, some things are going wrong, you have to, you know, try to better your matzav, and you have to do ishtadlus, okay. And in fact, they say a hint to that is in Hallel, on Sukkos. When we say Hallel, we shake the lulav and esrog at certain parts, and one of the lines we shake it is Ana Hashem Oshiyana. What does that mean? We're asking Hashem to save us. So when it comes to saving, sometimes you have to move, to shake. You have to move when to save yourself. He says, that's true, but you have to know a little bit, weigh it out. Sometimes it's good to move, but sometimes you have to just accept the tsaras and realize that you can't always run away from them. You have to ask a shayla when it's matim. What happened was, there was once a fellow, he came to the stipler. And he said, he was complaining, he said, oh, I have this terrible neighbor, and I don't know what to do, he's causing me tsaras. So the stipler told him, Davin. So this man couldn't take it anymore, and he says, it's ridiculous, and he packed up and he left, and he moved to another place. After that, he came to the stipler and he says, oh, Rebbe, please forgive me, you know, I'm sure it was your kapeda, that's kind of, he says, what happened? So he says, well, you know, I didn't listen to you, and I changed apartments. So he says, yeah. So he said, well, the place now where I am, the neighbor I have now is 7 times worse than the neighbor I had in the first place. So he said, I'm sorry, I went against your psak and this. So the stipler said, listen, you didn't go against my psak. I didn't give you a psak. I just told you the mitzias, a simple idea. And that is that, again, sorrows don't come by themselves. They come from Hashem. And therefore, you have to, you know, if you're going to start running away from them all, you see that that this is the results if you run away. And that's why I told you just to deal with it and to know it. Next, a nice vort he brings here from the Afike Yam. He brings the first beginning of the Sedra, the second Pasuk Beit, and he asks three kashas. Pasuk goes as follows. Yosef ben Shva Asrei Shana, Yosef was 17 years old, v'hu nar, he was nar, he was young, he was a youth, es b'nei vilhav, es b'nei zilpan nishay aviv, he was with the the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, the Neshei Aviv, who were the wives of his father, right, Yaakov. And then it says, Vayave Yosef et Dibasam Ra'a, and he brought the evil reports about them, El Avihem, to their father. That's the puzzle. So he has three questions. Question number one, what does it mean, Vuhu Nar? What is it telling me? And he was young. So what it says, he was Fasai Shana, Vuhu Nar. He was 17, he was a Nar. He was young. What's that coming to tell me? Secondly, why does it say, V'yavei Yosef Dibasam, he brought the evil reports to their father? Why didn't it say, V'hu Siper? Right, that's the normal way of speaking, as it says later on. V'saper l'aviv elachav. It says he had the dreams, and v'saper, and he told over. He sipor, tell over. So why didn't it should have said, and v'saper, he told over the reports of the father. Why v'yavei, he brought. What's pshat brought? Funny lashon. And finally, why does it say v'yavei yosef dibatzamara? He brought the reports el avihem, to their father. He should have said to his father. It says that right before in the pasuk. He was es b'nei Bilhah es b'nei Zilpah Neshei Aviv. These were Bilhah and Zilpah were Neshei Aviv, his father. So it should have said, and then Yosef brought the Dibarah to his father. Why say their father all of a sudden? Changes from his father to their father. What's going on? So he says the following, that Yosef was speaking like bad things, you know, so to speak, about his brothers. But he was a tzaddik, and he had to follow the halachas of Lashon Hara. So what are some of the halachas of Lashon Hara? So let's say you see somebody do something bad. So the halacha is, you have to first go to him yourself, and give him mussar, tell him, trying to straighten him out. But let's say you can't. Either he won't listen to you, or whatever the case might be. So then what? Then if that's the case, either you tried, could be you tried even, it didn't work. Or you can't, because he won't listen to you. The next thing then, second step is you go to somebody who that person will listen to. His Rebbe, his father, whatever it might be. Okay? And that's number one. Second point is that when you are going to his Rebbe or father, whatever it might be, you have to make sure that you don't exaggerate. You know, when you're telling over what happens, you tell over exactly what that person did, not inflate it, not exaggerate. That's the second point. And the third point is that you have to mechaven letoelis. In other words, you have to do it totally sincerely, not because you want to benefit from getting that guy in trouble or telling bad about him or feeling good about getting it. No, it has to be totally altruistic, letoelis. So with that, he says we can answer the three questions, now in the Lashon. And that is as follows. Then we ask, what does it mean, Vuhu Nar? So it has to say Vuhu Nar, before it tells us that Yosef brought the Dibarah to the father, is because you could ask, well, why did Yosef go ahead and tattle on his brothers to the father? He should have gone himself. The luck is you have to go yourself. The answer is Vuhu Nar. Since he was young, he was one of the youngest brother at the time, and they're not going to listen to him. He's the youngest brother, and he's with the B'nai Zilpah, and he's taking care of the Shvachos, who the brothers were talking bad about. They were Mezalzel in the Shvachos. And here he's with the Shvachos, he's saying, they're going to listen to me. I'm going to go, don't be Mezalzel in the Shvachos. Ah, they're not going to listen to me. Unar, he's only a Nar. So that explains, the Tosik has to tell us that, to explain why Yosef himself brought the Dibarah, and he didn't... Why he first didn't go tell them, why he went straight to the father and asked the father to deal with it. Because he was an Ari, he couldn't take care of it himself. That's number one. Then we ask, why does it say V'yavei Yosef? It should have said V'yasaper. And he was V'yasaper, he told over to the father. So it's to tell us, Sipur could be sometimes, embellish it a little bit, you tell the story, or whatever. But Yosef knew the halacha that you're not allowed to exaggerate when you're telling over when a person did bad. So when he went to the father, so the father can give the mussar, which we said he was allowed to do, because he was a nar, so he did so, but he told exactly as it was. didn't add anything. And there's a vayave. He brought what was done, the negative things that he saw in them, brought it to the father exactly as is. He didn't disappear, so I'm telling him stories. He told, brought exactly what they did. So that's for the cause of the second halacha. And finally, we ask, why does it say their father? It should have said his father. He brought the evil report to his father. And why does it say their father? So that's to answer the last, to take care of the third halacha. And that is, we said, that you have to mechaven latoelis. You can't do it for your own, to make yourself great and to feel good, hey, get the guy in trouble, whatever. So that was the case by Yosef. Meaning, if it says his father, he brought the bad report to his father, like, oh, to his father, Yosef, oh, I'm telling my father what they did, for himself. But he looked at it like their father. Right, it was their father. I'm bringing it to their father. I have nothing to do with it. I'm not for my own my benefit. It's totally l'toelos. It's, and therefore, there it says l'aviha. And he concludes that divrei pi chacham chen. That's a very, very beautiful, beautiful pshat in the pasuk here. Okay, next on the agenda. So he says. The whole parsha of Yosef and his brothers, which of course is very difficult to understand, what the brothers did, they hated him like that, and were going to kill him and sold him, etc. So he says it's best understood based on the Midrash. Midrash Rabbah, Peidal Yuches, it brings the pasuk in Yeshaya, Lama Sasenu Hashem Midrachecha, which means, why Hashem do you let us stray from your paths? And the Midrash learns out from this pasuk, Kishratzisa Natata Bilibam Lehov. When Hashem, you wanted, you put in their hearts to love. Ukishratzisa, and when you wanted, Nasata Bilibam Lisno, you put in their hearts to have hatred. Meaning, this whole thing, this hatred of the brothers towards Yosef, was Hashem's doing. Hashem put in their heart this hatred. We'll see in a minute why. But that, Agav, he says, explains the connection in the Sedra, that after we have the sale, when they took Yosef and they sold him, after that we have the parsha with Yehuda and Tamar. And what there, Chazal say the same thing, that really Yehuda, he wouldn't have gone after this, he didn't know it was Tamar, thought it was a Zona. And so what was he doing going with the Zona? Teretz says, Chazal say there as well, that he was pushed into it. A malach came, whatever, and pushed him into being with her, because it was meant to be that he should live with her and have the children, which are going to bring the Mashiach, whatever. He was pushed into it. He would have never done it, Chazal tell us. And so too, here, the Shvatim as well, they were pushed into having this hatred towards Yosef. It was Mina Shemayim. Why? That's what we're going to explain immediately. And that is, Chazal also say, more in Shabbos, that Yaakov, he ended up leaving Eretz Yisrael, coming down to Mitzrayim. Most people that go down to Galus, they go down in chains, says the Midrash, right? The enemy comes and they leave in chains. However, Yaakov Avinu, because of his greatness, his chus or whatever, Hashem didn't want that him and the rest of the family, they should go down to Galus in such a harsh way. And therefore they came down with honor. They're honorable people coming down to Mitzrayim, and they're given their own place to live, whatever. They came down bekavod. So they came down to Mitzrayim. Now, how were they able to do so? Because Yosef was there, right? And he brought them down like kings. So in Mele, it comes out that Hashem, in order to do this, had to create this whole scenario that the brothers will hate Yosef, and they'll end up selling him down to Mitzrayim, etc., etc., so that the Yaakov and his sons could come down, like mentioned, right, down to Mitzrayim. So the question is, though, Ilchura, Yosef should have screamed, "This isn't fair. That's not fair. Look what I had to go through just so my father can come down, nicely to Mitzrayim. I had to, my brothers hated me. They were going to kill me. Instead, fine, they threw me in a pit, which I thought was the end of me, right? Put me with fear in my, I thought I was going to die. And what happened? It was snakes and scorpions. And then, in the end, I was taken out. I was sold as a slave. I go to Mitzrayim as a slave. And then I had this terrible episode with Ashes Potiphar, which ended up, they had to go to jail. And I was in jail for 12 years. And then, okay, I got out, and finally everything worked out. But, you know, that's all of that. Why? So that my father can come down nicely to Mitzrayim. And that's not fair. I have to suffer like that so they can come down nicely to Mitzrayim. He said, where's the tzaddik over here? But, in fact, we don't see that Yosef complained. He didn't say that. We find the opposite, right? He said, when he revealed himself, right? He said, don't worry, I was sent down here, you know, to be able to support you. Hashem sent me down to support you. Everything, you know, I could be a savior for you and everything. But you thought to do bad to me, but it was but Hashem thought it was good. Everything's fine. And I was lost. Lamana so. I can keep you alive, etc., etc., etc. But what's pshat? Why is Yosef so nice about this? It was not fair. Why should he have to suffer like tremendously just so his family can have come down nicely? So he said, in order to understand this, you have to understand the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Yud. The Tunis Rufus, Arasha, he asked Rabbi Akiva, "Imelokeichem ohev anim hu mipnei ma eino mefarnesa." So God loves the anim. Yeah. So why doesn't Hashem just support them? Why do people have support these anim? Let Hashem support them if He loves them. So what did Rabbi Akiva answer him? He says, "It's kedei shenitzalanu behem midina shel gehinim." It's so that we, or the people that have money, can be saved from the din of Gehinnom. Because by us supporting these anim, we have a schos. It's a schos, you know, a big mitzvah to support anim. And that saves us from having to go Gehinnom, because we have a big schos of giving tzedakah. So he says, you can ask the same question over here. The l'chora, the anim, could cry out and say, what? We have to be the korban of the rich people? Right, because of this, so these rich people don't go Gehinnom, we have to be poor and suffer, whatever, just so these people can save themselves from Gehinnom. That's not fair. So, what's the answer to that? So he says, I heard from Rav Dessler that this little piece of Gemara over here, with Turner Service and Rabbi Kiva, is a raya, clear raya to what the Nefesh HaChaim brings down in Zakdama. What does the Nefesh HaChaim bring in Zakdama? Quote, it's an unbelievable statement. He says, "Shezeh kol ha'adam." This is what a person's all about. This is kol ha'adam. What's kol ha'adam? That lo le'atzmo nivra. A person was not created for himself. Rak leho'il lachrine b'chol ha'she'im atzei b'chol ha'sos. The only reason why he's here in the world is to help others in every possible way you can. Do that he's able to do. That's what a person is in the world for. Not for himself, for others. You're here for other people. That's what you were created. That's kol ha'adam. Didn't say that's a nice side thing, you know, help others. No, he says that's kol ha'adam. You're here to help other people. Lo latzmo nivra, only for others. So mele. This person, anim, you don't have to scream, it's not fair. Why, we have to be the korban for the rich people? If you can help a person from not having to go to Gehinnom, so that's called Adam. I mean, that's what you're here for, to help other people. Well, wonderful, you're doing your tafkid. That's what a person's all about. You're suffering, so the other person doesn't have to go to Gehinnom. Wonderful, that's your tafkid. That's great, that's what you're here for. So Rav Dessler says, brings this idea out, with the mitzvah of pre-cantina, right? It's a mitzvah to also, if you see a person that has an animal that's had too much load on it, there's a mitzvah pre-cant to help take off the load from the animal. And there's a mitzvah of tina, if a person's loading up his animal, to help him load up his animal. So there's a famous Gemara, then Baba Mitzia. Now let's say you have Ohev lifrok v'sone liton. In other words, your friend over here, his animal is buckling down under the load, and you have a mitzvah to help him, but you look over here, right next to him is your enemy, and he has to be loaded up with tina. So what takes preference? So even though you would think to help your friend, why? Not because he's your friend only, but because the animal is suffering. And there's a Isra Tzar Balei Chaim. He asked the animal suffering with the load to help him take it off. So he's your friend, and the Tzar Balei Chaim's help him. Says the Gemara, no, you should help the other guy, which just is loading up his donkey or his animal. Why? Because since he's your enemy, there's an inyan lachof at Yitzricha to go against your Yetzer. Your Yetzer doesn't want to help. I'm not going to help him. No, you have to help him so that you'll break that hatred that you have towards him. So we see how important that is. That takes preference even to Tzar Belichon. But he says lachora, the donkey over here that's buckling under the load, he could also scream out and say, "That's not fair. Why, you want to be a big tzaddik and control your Yetzer Hara on my cheshbon that I'm suffering over here? That's not fair." So says Rav Dessler, he goes, that's a complaint of a donkey. He says, but if it wasn't there as a donkey, he should be happy that he can help this other person and these people make shalom with each other. It's only because he's a donkey. But Lefech, he should be, okay, I'm suffering, but if I can suffer so these two people can make shalom, yeah, that's great. That's what I'm here for. And so that's my tachlis in the world. So Mela also, as we said, Yosef wasn't upset, right? When he had to go through, because you're not here for yourself. You're here for other people. If you can make his father happy, you can make his brothers happy, they can go down to Mitzrayim in a nice way, not in chains. So that's what I'm here for. And therefore, Yosef didn't complain the least bit. Concludes with a little maisa. He says once he was in the hospital, and he had something wrong with him, and some bacteria went into his ear, whatever. Okay, he had some treatment there in the hospital. And the doctor, obviously not religious doctor, comes up to him, and he says, I have a question. He says, yeah. He says, is it true that in your Gemara, he puts in quotation marks, in your Gemara, it says, the hatov sheberofim legehenum. The Chazal say that the best of doctors, hatov sheberofim, the best doctors go to Gehenum. Is it true that it says that in your Gemara? So he says, yeah, it is. So he's like, that doesn't make any sense. That's not fair. Why should a good doctor have to go to Gehenna? And, he considered himself a good doctor, obviously. And he says, that's not right. That's not fair. Why should I go to Gehenna? So he says, I'm a beautiful pshat. He says, let me ask you something. He says, why of all professions did you pick to be a doctor? So he says, because I like to help people. And, I see people suffering, whatever. It hurts me. And if you see people suffering, I always like to help people. So he says, very nice. So he says, okay, now I'll explain to you. First of all, he says, note that the Gemara doesn't say the most mumche, the best doctors who's a mumche in the field, an expert who has expertise, he goes to Hinnom. That's not what it says. It says hatov sheberofi, meaning tov refers to somebody like you, he told the doctor. Somebody who's good, meaning he's good-hearted. He's a good-hearted person. He wants to help people. Okay, so he says, therefore, he says, just imagine, let's say after 120 years, you're going to go to Shemayim, and they're going to judge you. They're going to say to you, wow, you helped this person, and you helped that person, and you cured this person, you cured that person. And he says, wow, unbelievable. He says, you're going to go straight to Gan Eden. So this doctor's listening, he's a big smile on his face, He says, and then he says, you're going to, about to enter Gan Eden, and you're going to say, what goes on in Gan Eden? And they're going to tell you, Tzadikim Yoshvim, Batroseim, Berosheim, and Amizim Eshchina, Tzadikim are there, enjoying the presence of Hashem, etc. And then you're going to ask, okay, what's going down there in Gehenim? So they're going to answer, oh, don't ask. They're being judged there with fire and brimstone, and they're screaming out there for help, and oh, you don't ask what's going on there. You, he says, who are such a good doctor, a good-hearted person, and you're such a rachaman, and you're a caring person, whatever, you know what you're going to say? You're going to say, how can I enjoy my Gan Eden over here after these people are suffering? That he says, I'm going to go help them. I'm going to go down there and give them a helping hand. Whatever I can do, I'm going to do. He says, that's from the Gemara. Tov shebarofim legehenim. The good doctors, the good ones who have a good heart, they're going to end up in Gehenim because they have a good heart. They want to help the people down there. It's an extension of what we said, that a person is created for others, not himself. It's a very interesting maisa here. He said he was told it by Rav Yitzhak Vider, B'nei Brak Yid, Chassid Borsha. Told him the following Maisa with Rav Shlomo Kluger Zatzal. Goes like this. He says there was a Parnas Kehila. He's a Rosh Kehila, head of a Kehila, that he was called in one day by the Moshel, by the mayor or whatever of the area. And as soon as he was called in, he knew that doesn't sound good. Whenever he's called in, it's for bad news. So sure enough, the guy, Moshel, told him. He said, he got a letter that the army's coming through, and they're going to come through this their town, and as a result, they have to host the soldiers in their homes for as long as they're staying over there in the area. And he says, so just when I'm telling you this, so you can get things ready, you know, because the soldiers are going to stay back. Anyways, the Rosh Kehila comes back to the Kehila and he says, oh, it's Arasurus, this is terrible. Can you imagine? He's hosting these goyim, these, you know, shkutzim, and they're going to be, you know, that's the way they talk, the way they dress, the way they act, and in our homes, our religious homes with our young daughters, how can we, it's a terrible, terrible gzera. What are we going to do? Anyways, they didn't know what to do, so the Hasidim of the town just said, well, let's go to our Rebbe. Maybe the Rebbe can help us. The Misnagdim were like, Rebbe, what's the Rebbe going to do? But they said, okay, you know, can't hurt. Okay. So a group of the Hasidim went to the Rebbe and said, tell them the problem. So the Rebbe says, how much is it worth to you to get out of this problem? How much is it worth it to you? So he would say, Rebbe, any price. You name the price. So he named the price. He said, look, I'm involved now in the mitzvah Pinyin Shvuim, and I need 1,000 kronos, whatever the Austrian currency was. I need 1,000 kronos. And if you give me that, then I'll daven for you, and hopefully things will work out. So they said, okay, great. So they went back and they told the Kehila, okay, the Rebbe said, all we have to do is come up with 1,000 kronos, you know, between everybody. Everybody gives a little bit and then give it to the Rebbe. And then he said, things will be okay. So the Hasidim were all excited. Baruch Hashem, we'll see a salvation here. But the Misnagdim are like, why should we give money? You know? So the Hasidim said, okay, we'll make a deal with you. You give the money. If everything works out, and, you know, like the Rebbe said, well, good. So, of course, you're going to be happy. Everything worked out. And the worst comes to worst. If it doesn't, then we'll give you your money back. So you have nothing to lose. So Misnagdim said, okay. Well, they couldn't argue with that. And they gave the money. So they came to the Rebbe. Here's the money, Rebbe. The Rebbe gave him a nice bracha and says, okay, thank you very much. You know, you're a mishtatev and it's a great mitzvah, pidyon shvuim. So there's no greater mitzvah than that. And everything will work out, and you won't have to deal with these unwanted visitors in your home. Okay, so that was that. What happened? A few days later, the Moshel calls back the Rosh Kehila. Back, she comes in. He says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, I just want to let you know that I got another letter, and they canceled the." The army, they were supposed to settle here in this area, but something happened and they had to go somewhere else, so they're not coming after all. Got a letter, it was canceled. So we came back and Sasan Vesimcha, the Yehudi Maitzor of Vesimcha, they were so happy, oh, Baruch Hashem, everything worked out. You see, the Rebbe made it work. So the Misnagdim, though, as Misnagdim are, they said, wait a minute. They said, can we see that letter, please? And so the Rosh calls, sure. I gave him the letter. So they're looking at the letter. They said, aha, aha. We don't have to pay you. We want our money back. We want our money back. He said, what do you mean? You said if the Rebbe, you know, makes it work, you keep the money. Why do you have to give your money back? He said, because the Rebbe didn't make it work. He says, what do you mean? Everything was canceled. They said, yeah. He said, but look at the date on the letter. See, the letter was sent from them. It was in the mail. Right, it took a few days to get here. It was sent before you even went to the Rebbe. So what do you mean the Rebbe made it? It was already, they already sent, mailed a letter that the thing was canceled before you even went to the Rebbe. So what do you mean the Rebbe used the Rebbe? It wasn't the Rebbe. It was the Rebbe, so give us our money back. So they said, No, the Rebbe, yeah, you see, the Rebbe already had, knew in Baruch of Kodesh that this whole thing was going to happen a couple of weeks ago, and he already davened for us back then. And they go, yeah, right. Give us our money back, anything. Anyways, they didn't want to give the money back. So they said, we're going to take the Shiloh to Rav Shlomo Kluger, see what he has to say. So they went to Rav Shlomo Kluger, told him the facts, and he said, who's right? So he says, give me a day to think about it. I have to ponder it. Come back tomorrow. So the Misnagdim said, okay, Rebbe, we'll come back, but we don't want it, none of this. But we want five. You're going to possibly want it. We want sources. We want a source, an authentic source for your psak, not just, well, because maybe that. No, we want facts. We want facts. So he said, no problem. Facts. Okay. So they come back the next day, and the Rebbe's, Rav Shlomo Kluger says, fine, I have their psak for you, and you wanted source, facts, so how is the Tanakh? Is that okay for you? Of course. So he says, okay. He says, I have an answer for you, it's in the Tanakh. Where? So he opened up for them, Shmuel Beis, Vav, and talks over there about David HaMelech, when he wanted to bring the Aron HaKodesh, it was in Kiryat Yarim, he wanted to bring it to Yerushalayim. So what happened was Uzzah, the Aron was about to fail, Uzzah wanted to pick it up, whatever, and he wasn't careful with the honor of the Aron, and Hashem killed him. So David started getting very nervous. They were not going to be able to handle the Kedusha of the Aron after, you know. So he brought it to Beis Oved Edom, Hagiti, who was a Levi, and he brought it to him to take care of. So what happened? It was brought to his house, and that house saw tremendous bracha from the Aron, and when David saw that, he therefore brought it after his Yerushalayim. That's the mice over there in the Gemara, in the Tanakh. The Gemara says, now what was this bracha? They saw bracha from the Aron. What was the bracha? The bracha was that Oved Edom, his wife, and his eight daughter-in-laws, and he had eight sons, so he had eight daughter-in-laws, they were all married, so his wife and his eight daughter-in-laws all had sextuplets. All gave birth six Bekeres Echad. And it's in Divrei Yamis, Oved Edom Banim Shmona, Ki Bercho Elokim, Hashem gave him a bracha, Shishim Ushnaim Oved Edom. He had altogether 62. How did he get 62? Well, his wife and the eight daughter-in-laws, that's nine people, these had six, nine times six is 54, plus he had their sons, he had another eight sons, so that's 54 altogether. Okay, so now, Rav Shlomo continued. He said, okay, 62. So what happened? So Rav Shlomo Kluger continues. He says, fine. Now, he said, they saw a bracha, and they had six. He says, now, how long is a woman pregnant for? 9 months. If she gives birth early, could be, Gemara says it could be after 7 months, earliest. Now, how long was the Aron there, okay, by Oved Edom that they saw the bracha? So that it says beferish in the pasuk, "Vayeshev Aron Hashem beis Oved Edom hagiti shlosha chadashim." V'yavarach Hashem et Oved Edom beis kol beito. Says beferish in the pasuk Shmuel beis vav pasuk yud aleph that the Aron was 3 months by them and they saw the bracha. What was the bracha? They each gave birth in shisha bekeres in 3 months. How did they all give birth in 3 months after all these kids, right? You need at least 7 months. So ask for some wasp shot. LMI, what do you have to say? You have to say that they're obviously pregnant earlier, right? Before the Aron even came there. So how could David HaMelech being a raya and say, oh, look, there's bracha over here. Look, they all gave birth. So therefore, it's a raya that the Aron brings bracha, and I'm bringing it to Yerushalayim. What kind of a raya is that? Yeah, they saw bracha, but this wasn't bracha from now. This was bracha they're pregnant from the way before, a few months ago, before the Aron got here. Elamai, what do you have to say? That Hashem saw in the future that the Aron's going to end up over there by Oved Edom, and how they're going to take care of it, and everything, they're going to be good, and they're going to be deserving of bracha. So Hashem already, before this even happened, started the bracha to take effect, so that when the Aron gets there, they're going to give birth. So Mele, he says same thing over here. right? You said, oh, but the Rebbe didn't do anything over here because the letter was sent already before. So he says, he say the same thing. Yeah, Vare letter, but Hashem saw that in the future that the Rebbe is going to daven and you're going to give the money and you deserve for this thing to happen, that the army gets canceled. Hashem saw that already in advance, that Rebbe's going to daven and you're going to give the money. And therefore, he started the ball rolling already before and had them send a letter. But Hashem only did it because the Rebbe daven and you gave the tzedakah. So it was the Rebbe and Yersaka that did it. It wasn't, Vada is the connection. Hashem saw this, and that's when he just started the brawling rolling early, like we saw in the case with David HaMelech. With Mela, he says, you have to make sure you do not take the money away from the Hasidim. They deserve to keep their money, and all's well that ends well. Shal Zoyche, see tremendous bracha in all our ways. We should be Zoyche to seeing the coming of Mashiach, we came to him here.